Morning, Rabbi.
You win again.
Are there any notes ahead of the shiur each Tuesday, Thursday that we could add to? Because when you speak, it's great stuff, but I'm trying to like be prepared ahead of time to understand it a little in more depth. Is there anything you'd recommend?
Yes, there's a Kahati English translation that's available.
Ah.
It's called Kahati, K-E-H-A-T-I.
Okay.
Kahati. And they always have an introduction for each Masechta. That'd be enough for you, probably. So like that's a one-page introduction.
Thank you.
Right, that's what you need now for the next 2 or 3 weeks because we're in Seder Zroim that has no Gemara, except Yerushalmi. Ah. When you get up to the Masechtas that have Gemara, you can look at the introduction to the art scrolls.
Okay.
You have some access to that.
Thank you.
Okay, Chevra, let's get started. Today's Masechta is Masechta Shvius. Just in time, next year is indeed a Shemitah year. Shvius is every 7 years of a cycle of work on the fields, we break everything that was done the previous 6 years. So in a Shemitah cycle, let's say the year after next year, we start a three-year cycle that where one-tenth of everything that our fields produce has to be taken to the holy city. Time of most of our history, that was Yerushalayim, but other times in history, that was Shiloh or Givon or Nov or Gilgal, wherever the Ohel Moed, wherever the Mishkan stood, where the sanctuary was, you had to take one-tenth of your crops to that place and eat it there in a state of ritual purity. That food is called Maaser Sheni. And in the third year, you don't have to go to the holy place. You just give it to poor people. That's called Maaser Ani. We described those earlier. And then we repeat that three-year cycle again. So it's year 1, 2, 4, and 5 are Maaser Sheni years. 3 and 6 are Maaser Ani years. And then the seventh year of that cycle is what our Masechta is about. That's known as Shvius. The word Shvius means the seventh year. The first two prakim are like Yuma and Psachim and Shabbos all those three Masechtas speak about what we do before what the Masechta is about. Right? So the first two prakim on Masechta Shabbos talk about carrying, preparing for what you need in the place where you need to be, or candle lighting, or even cooking. Those are preparations for Shabbos. Masechta Yuma speaks about the 7 days before Yom Kippur. Maseches Pesachim speaks about the B'dikas Chametz, what you do before Pesach. Maseches Sukkah talks about building the Sukkah, which obviously has to take place before Sukkot. So too, Maseches Shvius, that speaks about the seventh year release, where we don't own our land and we can't work the land. In the seventh year, so the Masechta starts off, the first two chapters, about the things we can't do even before the Shemitah year starts. You can't plow the field because plowing is preparing it for things that are going to take place sometime from now. We're not even allowed to plant before a Shemitah year with a certain amount of time. Normative halacha is 44 days before a Shemitah year you can't plant. That happens to be Tu B'Av. So Tu B'Av, on Tu B'Av, you can't plant anymore before a Shemitah year in Israel. So these are preparations for Shemitah and why the Masechta starts that way. Okay, the third parak talks about avos and toldos, which we'll have more to say with a few other mesechtas like Baba Kama and Masechta Shabbos. So avos and toldos, that means that the head categories of what's prohibited in Shemitah year, and then the subcategories. The Shemitah head categories and subcategories are very different than other areas that have similar laws. And this is the simple difference. The things that we're not supposed to do that are mentioned in the Torah, those are the headings. And the Torah just mentions only a few things. The Torah mentions not to according to one opinion, not to plow and not to harvest. And it also says not to sow seeds. Right? We can't do those things in the Shemitah year. And the subcategories, the Mishnah lists 21 additional subcategories of things that help the crops grow, or that fumigate a tree or something like that gets rid of the bugs. or that the hoeing the crops or removing weeds or things like that, or even removing stones that prepare the earth for plowing. All those are called toldos, the subcategories of things we don't do in the Shemitah year. The fourth chapter has an interesting halacha that says you're allowed to remove stones from your field to use the stones to build a wall. Big, large stones, you're allowed to remove those because I need the stones. But you're not allowed to remove stones because you want to prepare the ground for plowing. You probably want to do that at the end of a Shemitah year to prepare for the plowing for the next year, where sowing seeds is permitted. The Gemara notices that if you remove stones because you want to build a wall, isn't it a psik resha? Isn't it obviously that even if that is your intention, you're still preparing it for plowing, even if that's not your intention? So while this wouldn't be allowed, for instance, in the laws of Shabbos, which we'll discuss some weeks from now, it is allowed in the laws of Shemitah, since the prohibition is only rabbinic in nature. It's only what's written in the Torah that is prohibited in the Shemitah year. Okay, the fifth parak of Masechet Shviyos talks about fruits and vegetables that have more than one harvest a year, and there's some specific laws that relate to that. The sixth parak talks about dividing Israel into a tic-tac-toe board with nine boxes. The land of Israel is obviously longer than it's wide, right? And there are nine boxes. You have to make a tic-tac-toe table, even going past the Jordan River, because Jews lived there too. And the laws of Shemitah are kept in five lands that surround Israel also, of course, rabbinically. And that would be today, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and parts of Egypt, where Shemitah laws were kept in lands surrounding Israel. This will not be true about some other laws like Bikurim, first fruits, but Shemitah years were kept in surrounding areas. And these nine grids were important in chapter 6 to determine something known as Bi'ur. Since this is the basic law, you're not allowed to behave in your land. You have a large farm where you produce many different crops. You're not allowed to act like a landowner during that time. You don't have to watch your field be destroyed and be wiped away. You don't have to be hungry the whole year. You are allowed to harvest what you need for up to 2 weeks at a time for the members of your household. What you can't do is bring a tractor and bring it into the house to bring it to the market. Right? It says this is food for you to eat, but not to do schora, not to take it for business purposes, and not to waste it either. Not allowed to waste it, but it just has to be open. You can't have a fence. You can't have a fence around your land. It has to be open for anybody to take the crops. And he's not, the Gemara says you're not even supposed to say thank you afterwards. Because it's not my crops. You have to say thank you to God for causing the release. So that is, so what could happen though is that someone can hoard this food and take so much of it, go around the country and take 2 weeks worth of food from 100 different fields, and then you're hoarding it, and then you have a windfall for the next year. So that's why there's something called Bi'ur, where you're not allowed to keep those fruits beyond a particular date. That date is determined by when the food is no longer available in the fields, for animals even, right? For chayos, never mind behemos. So Israel puts out now a brochure with hundreds of foods in Israel. When is the last time pineapples are available? When is the last time cantaloupes are available? When is the last time that peaches are available, and when is the last time that asparagus is available? And that's where you have to make sure that this food is not from the Shemitah year. This is, of course, most nogeh, it's probably wine, because wine can last for a year or two. So on the back of the wine that you buy in after a Shemitah year, you have to make sure it says on the back, there's no, we've appealed to all the laws of Bi'ur. Now, there's a lot to talk about here, of course. The remaining chapters begin with Klal Gadol, chapter 7 and 8, about what applies to Shemitah. Maybe that should have been the first parak. It has to be food for an animal or food for a person. It could be, it doesn't have to be food. It could be foods that are used for dyes, right? And then the eighth parak teaches that it has to be food that, and you don't waste it. You don't take it to the marketplace. And everyone in Israel has to have the right to go into your land to eat your food, right? Eat your peaches. And you can't have the land closed off for people to be able to do this, right? And then the ninth parak talks about things that you, that are pturim from the laws of Shemitah, things that Shemitah does not apply to, that grow from the ground. And it's crucial to point out, as this chapter does, that people have the right to come into your land to eat food, but not to play baseball, not to set up a tent city. Not, you know, it's all just they can enter your land just to get the food, right? It's not yours either. Okay, everyone has to be able to behave in your land like the same type of owners. Okay, the last chapter talks about the laws of Prusbul, which is the cancellation of debt in the Shemitah year. Okay, that's an overview chapter by chapter. What happened when Jews started to return to Israel, they realized that if we keep the whole full release, that we'd never have a yeshuv who can survive. So they figured out a rule that if you sell the land to a Gentile, that then then we were allowed to work the land because it's not technically ours. When they first came up with this idea, it was based on a tour that we've come to realize now with the Machon Yerushalayim tour that it's a mistaken text. Plus, the original heter was, the original allowance to do such a thing was only based on the fact that the Ottoman Empire runs Israel. And they specifically wrote at a time where Jews have independence in this land, where Jews run the show, this heter does not apply. But the heter was rolled over, and I'm not here to judge one way or another. People are more stringent with vegetables than with fruits for various reasons that we'll get into now. And if someone is in Israel next year, you have to just know the halachos, know what your stringencies are and your leniencies are. And there is something called Otzer Beis Din, where like a corporate entity takes ownership of your land. That sort of works a little like the way the Prusbul works, where you transfer your debt to the loan to a Beis Din, and the Beis Din collects for you. So you can collect a loan that was made in a Shemitah year. So the main point of the Torah is to level the playing field between those who own land and those who don't. And these two prohibitions were meant to protect the farmer. The farmer has to borrow money in order to keep his crops running. But then, you know, if we protect the banker who can now collect the loan, how do we protect the farmer who has to let all his crops not take it to the marketplace and make no money? He's got to pay his loan back, but he's making no money. So this is what the what these allowances are about. And I will conclude with an amazing chiddush of the Bechor Shor from last week's parsha. Of course, sure, Rav Yosef of Orleans was one of the Balei HaTosfos who says that when the Torah says Uvashviis Yetzechov Shichinam, that when an Eved Ivri, a Hebrew slave who was sold into servitude, he's not really a slave, for stealing and not being able to pay back, so if the one he stole from allows it, he works for him for 6 years, and then it says in the Shviis, in the seventh year, he goes free. So the chiddush of the Bechor Shor is that the word Shviis means in the Shemitah year, he goes free. Now, that defies the end of Sefer Vayikra that says only in the Yovel year, every 50th year, every seven Shemitah cycles is a Yovel. And in that year, the slaves all go free. So what is the Bechor Shor says something never found in the Gemara. It is found, by the way, in the Zohar, which means that it doesn't mean he goes free altogether. Just in the Shemitah year, there's no work for him to do. No one did work in the household. Your houses were 15 feet by 15 feet. That was a big house at the time. All the work of an Eved Ivri was to do in the fields. So in the Shemitah year, he would go free and then go back to work afterwards. So altogether, he would work 7 years, which makes sense now for Yirmiyahu, who says you should let the slaves go free after 7 years, contravening what the Torah says, 6 years. Yirmiyahu himself mentions 6 years afterwards. So what he means about 7 years is that every Ivri works a total of 7 years with 1 year free in between, depending on when he was sold into slavery. Right? Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. In practice, most people just said, I don't want a ganav living with me for 6 years at all. I'll wait for him to be able to pay it back. Anyway, that is, in a nutshell, what Maseches Shviyos is about. It's really meant to put our dependence on God, to say he created the world, and he will tell me when I can own it and when I don't own it. Right? It's become very popular now in green circles in Israel to keep Shemitah. It's good to give the land a rest a little bit once in a while. And it's become popular even in secular circles to keep the Shemitah year. Baruch Hashem, it should be for a zechus for the Jewish people to put our reliance in God fully. And may we all be zoche for a full redemption of the land. And Bezrus Hashem, on Thursday, we'll begin Maseches Trumos, which now goes into a whole separate area of Seder Zeroyim, which is post-harvest. Everything we've done now is really pre-harvest, right? Peah is the standing grain, Demai are doubts, and then we did Kilayim, which is about sowing the seeds, and now Shviyas, which is, of course, before the harvest, that we don't even harvest at all. We don't even plant at all. Next week, next time on Thursday, we'll be doing Maseches Trumos, which is what we do after we harvest the crops. Okay, love to see you then as well. Have a great day, everybody, and hopefully we'll continue to make our way through together.